Welcome to The Savvy Session, your go-to podcast about elevating your life and business, sprinkled with a little bit of fun. This podcast is brought to you by Elevate Performance Solutions and Revolut IT Services. And now, here are your hosts, Kirsten Ramos and Paula Kircher.
Hello, and welcome back to The Savvy Session. Today, we are joined by a leadership coach with a focus unlike many other coaches. Divya specializes in helping tech founders, leaders, and executives find clarity to do the hard things needed to grow their people and their businesses.
Divya Ramachandran, her background includes working for startups, designing products, getting her PhD, then making a surprising pivot into coaching. But enough from me. We'd all rather hear from Divya. Hello and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me, both of you, Paula and Kirsten. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, we are so glad to have you. Divya, can you share a little bit about your career journey and how you made the pivot that you made?
Yeah, sure. So I like to think about my career as this journey that I took moving from products and technology to people. And, you know, now when I look back at it, I also think it's just a journey that I made towards myself, like my true self. So I started, you know, in my academic background, I was studying engineering, computer engineering, really just because of the environment I was in. I was around a lot of engineers and it just felt like the right thing to do. And my dream was really to go to grad school at Berkeley. And so when I got into my dream school, I was so excited, got there and realized that, wow, everyone really cares about all these problems related to computers and technology, and I don't. And I really cared more about people and people problems. And so that's how I ended up finding human computer interaction, or kind of human centered computing, really as an area where it piqued my interest, because it was about how are we using products and technology and designing them to solve problems that people have. And part of that was really trying to understand people, understand the processes that they were using, what's working, what's not. And I got really deep into that. My PhD research was on that. And then eventually I started the first decade of my career was around that. I worked as a user experience designer, as well as a product manager at multiple tech startups. So I was still in the tech area, but thinking about the people side. Eventually I was leading a team of the product and design team at this AI startup. And my role was kind of morphing from thinking about our users and their problems to the people on my team and their problems, and how am I managing their morale and their excitement and engagement and accountability and all of that. And so there were a lot of struggles that I was facing through that. And so I worked with an executive coach to help me work through some of that. And I found that work to be just incredibly transformational. It was suddenly switching my focus from I thought I was just going to be thinking about the work and these tactics, but instead it was really about turning my focus inward, working on kind of building myself and my understanding myself. And it really changed the way I thought about management as well as leadership. And I was so intrigued. Eventually I ended up leaving that job, actually, because I was honestly quite burnt out. And as I looked for what I wanted to do next, leadership coaches just sort of kept showing up in my life. And so I was encouraged to just sign up for a course and see what I thought. And from the first day of that course, it was just like so clear to me that this is what I wanted to do. It was like the missing piece in the puzzle, helping me kind of work deep on people stuff, people issues, but still being able to stay in the tech world where I had a lot of experience. And so now that's what I do. I coach leaders in the tech space who are needing and wanting to build their leadership skills. And so the story in hindsight makes so much sense to me, even though as I was going through it, it just felt like pivot after pivot.
Right. Well, and I love how you kind of just opened it up to the universe, and the universe answered by saying, like, I'm going to keep putting these leadership coaches in your life. And you're like, I'm kind of envious of what you do. And why aren't I doing this? And then you made that final pivot into into that world of leadership coaching. Love it.
No, and precisely. I love it. Thank you.
Yeah. And I love that you explained it like as pieces to the puzzle, because that's what it is. You go through life and you're finding all these pieces. And this is great that you figured out what your interest is. So I appreciate you sharing that with us and our audience as well, because we all make pivots. And so it's great to hear. Now, speaking of doing your coaching services, Divya, what are some common challenges you've observed among tech leaders, and how do you typically approach addressing them in your coaching practice?
Yeah, great question. So, it's a pretty tough economy out there, and tech companies are having a hard time for sure. But I think, despite what's happening externally, for a leader to be successful in any situation, they have to be really good at two things. One is saying hard stuff, so having real candid conversations about accountability, about, self-advocacy or advocating for your new ideas or communicating tough decisions. So really just saying what you have to say. And the other one is, doing hard things. So by that, I mean, just like chipping away at these like really complicated, ambiguous problems, generating clarity for yourself, for your team, through strategy, through vision, whatever else it is. And so these are two of the things that kind of come up as the most common challenges with my clients. And, the reason I call them both hard, I mean, we all call these things hard, is because essentially what's associated with them, there are a lot of hard, big feelings. All of the emotions associated with, having to have this conversation with somebody or trying to impress somebody or make a decision that you're not entirely sure about, right? Am I the fear? Am I making the right decision? Will I succeed? Will we all succeed? All of those things. And so when, as these big feelings come up, I think the most important work that I do with my clients, and possibly the most important work that leaders need to do, is really to build a bank of emotional awareness that really you're creating a better relationship with these hard emotions, so that even if they're there, you can still move forward. And so not only are you moving forward, but you're also able to move forward through that process, but feel less stress through it. Because if all of this is just adding to your stress, that's what's leading to burnout. And that's what's, at least, if not burning out, just leading you to not achieve the success you want to achieve. And so the work I'm doing, really, my approach is really to help leaders acknowledge the emotions that are there, to just build a lot more awareness around them, to accept them as well, not resist them, not just be like, well, I'm not scared, I'm not this, and I'm not anxious, but actually accept them and realize, okay, this is here for a reason. And then I like to think about it as you're acting in alignment with those emotions. It doesn't mean that you're, just going out and throwing tantrums or being driven by those emotions, but it means that you're kind of noticing the emotions are there, making actions, knowing what your choices are, and then choosing an action that's going to serve you the best. And so that's essentially the work I do. And I think it's when it works, it's incredibly profound for leaders to have that kind of transformational experience.
For sure. I'm a big, scholar of emotional intelligence. And I love how you're talking about these emotions that we all have, and that the emotions aren't going to go away, and we don't want them to go away. But it's more so around how do we make sure that we're being, when I say the word healthy, I don't necessarily mean health and wellness, but it's like, how are we reacting in a healthy way for our environment and for the people that we interact with? I would love to know whether or not it has to do with, emotional or emotional intelligence or not. I would love for you to go a little bit deeper. Is there an example you can give us of some of this transformative work you've done with a particular client, and kind of what was the outcome of your guidance, in their business strategy or within their leadership style?
Yeah, I love that question. So, I think one example is I have this one client who's really excellent at execution. Like, just really, you give her a job, she's going to get it done, right? Really dependable. When there's a problem, she's on it, right? Like, you can depend on her to solve that. But as she's moved up, and as she eventually kind of moved into a more executive role, she was approaching a lot of the more strategic work in the same way. So it's like, oh, I see this problem in this process. Let me whip out, whip together this new process and like put it out there, and this is going to
Yeah.
change everything. And they were all really, really great ideas, right? But what she was realizing over time is like, hey, people are not really buying into this. Like, either they're resisting it or they're saying, yeah, great idea, and then going back and doing what they were always doing, like not actually, buying into it or showing that they like the idea. So this was creating a lot of stress for her, because it's just like she's so used to this, like, if there's a problem, I solve it, it's shipped,
Yes.
I'm done, I'm on to the next one. And now here it is, like, there's just so much stress, there's so much resistance getting in the way of actually, doing her work. So this is something we worked on a lot, and there was a lot of self-doubt coming in, right? Like, am I actually fit to do this job? Why doesn't anyone listen to me? Why doesn't anyone want to hear what I have to say? Do I not have the influence? She's losing motivation. She's burning out through all this process, right? But as we built more awareness around these emotions, just to try and understand, okay, so what is this story you're telling yourself? And is their resistance really about you, right? Like, what is their resistance about? Why? Okay, they're not buying into this process. Why do you think that is, right? And so for her to start changing her point of view around this to be like, I don't need to just tell them this is the answer to the problem. I need to understand, well, what is the problem from their point of view, and get more curious around all of that, right? And so as she was able to bring more curiosity to that resistance and understand where they're coming from, and over time build more trust with them, often one-on-one, right? Because you kind of need to just be able to build these one-on-one relationships with your colleagues. She's also able to kind of slow down and hold space for them to just take their own process, take their time buying into the ideas, and maybe collaborate a little bit, maybe understand or take into account some of their perspective as she was doing this. And so it wasn't so much as like, oh, there's a problem, like whack-a-mole, let's just like, get it out of the way. It's more about like, let's let all of these things kind of, let's talk through these, let's build the trust we need and the relationships we need. But I think the most profound kind of shift in her thinking was these things that were popping up that she felt were kind of getting in the way of her work were not getting in the way of her work. They were actually her work, right? Like, as a leader at that level, this is your work, is like you're taking people on this journey through these new ideas. And it's not about like, hey, my idea, my solution to that problem. It's about kind of bringing people along. So really lifted a load off of in terms of the stress she was feeling as well as a result of that.
I am loving that you focused her more on being curious. I think a lot of times we're recording this on International Women's Day, so it's like we as women oftentimes we're built-in problem solvers. We see it, we let's handle it, let's tackle it. And realizing sometimes it's not our role at this point to do that. And so getting curious and understanding and asking questions can really help with that clarity. And I love that you approached the issue that she was experiencing with those suggestions, because I think we need to, as all people, need to be more curious and less executionary. So I like that.
Thank you. And I just kind of wanted to, add to that. You kind of asked the question of like, how did my guidance shift her? And I think about this as, no, people are not coming to me as I'm an expert here that can, solve the problem for you, right? It's just so much about that partnership, right? So even me bringing curiosity to her experience here and being able to hold that space is what's unlocking potential that's in her. Right? It's not me or my expertise. This is what's going to unlock the thing that's inside of her that's going to allow her to maybe, 5x, 10x her performance or the way in which she's showing up, which I think is another thing that I really love about this kind of work.
I love that.
No, and I love it too. And I love you touching on the point of building trust. Not only are you building trust with between your guys' relationship, but building trust with her and her team. I'm like, Chris and I are huge on that aspect of it. So appreciate you bringing that into your coaching services as well. And that shift too of when she moved up into a management position, that changes things too, from like what you had touched on of like that it's not just about her, it's about being the curious about her teams now, what being in their shoes. So love that you were saying that you do have to ch shift your point of view. It's not just about you, it's now about your team and what are their pain points or questions that they may have. So this is a great conversation, Divya. I love it.
I do too.
Me too.
Yeah. Now, Divya, in the fast-paced world of technology, in the companies that specialize in tech, how do you help leaders strike a balance between innovation and people growth in their decision-making processes?
Yeah, ooh, that's a good one. Paula, when I think about that, those two sides, innovation and people growth, I almost don't even think about it as striking a balance between the two. A lot of leaders sometimes think about people growth as almost secondary or the thing that you do when everything is going well, right? And first, you got to put money in the bank, which, sure, there's truth to that, right? But you don't just put money in the bank by building new products or adding features or more bells and whistles or, all of those things. ultimately, you've got to have people inspired and motivated and engaged and ready to do that work. And I think that investing in people growth actually creates a culture of innovation and creativity. And so by investing in that upfront and realizing like this is maybe the most important thing I need to do is have a team that knows what they need to do, you know, clear expectations, have a process where I'm keeping them accountable, holding them accountable to those expectations in an empathetic way, where there's clarity around the vision, for them to be engaged and ready and motivated, and that they feel like they're growing and serving some purpose by doing this work. You're unleashing their creativity, and like that's when you're going to be able to innovate. That's how I kind of help think about it. Think
It's
about
so,
helping leaders see it.
yeah, that is so true. You know, and it is, you know, that common thought process of like, well, you know, I can't invest in this, but I love that it's more like, no, you need to invest in this to have the other that you would normally put first. So I love that. Love it. You know, I can feel the passion for the work that you do. And one of our focal points on you know, on the Savvy Session is fun. So what is it that you feel brings you joy in the work that you do?
Yeah, I love that one of your focal points is fun too. Like, yeah, let's have fun doing
Have a little
this,
fun. Yes. Right.
right? it's so funny because I always feel like often in conversations with friends and family and stuff, I'm the one that's so looking forward to Monday, because I just love this work,
Yeah.
and I feel really, just a lot of gratitude about the fact that I found work that I really care about. And there was somebody, I think it was one of my trainers in my coach training program, who said this sentence, which I really liked, which was like, when who you are and what you do is aligned, that's where you find your purpose, right? And I mean, that means you've like found your purpose. And I just feel like I'm doing this work because I love connecting with people one-on-one. I love seeing the shift that they have when they unlock an insight of their own, and how like their energy completely shifts around, like from the stressed place to this like, oh, I can feel open about this, and there's opportunities, there's possibilities here. And so I just, that part of my work is really wonderful and fun. And then I also like to take some of that and think about it, kind of how do I generalize this? How do I create frameworks and ideas, and how do I write about this? So I have this newsletter that I write that I really enjoy being able to kind of put thoughts together and send out. And other kinds of content that I like to create around it. So I think all of that's fun.
No, and I love you sharing that with us. I love that you love unlocking other people's, growth potential. And so just you can feel it as we're talking with you that that totally is your passion. So glad you're doing, you found your purpose in doing what you're doing. So we that always makes Kirsten and I happy when someone has found, that like you said, the two things that connect. Because you can keep going and saying, especially in a job, that, oh, this is something I should be doing, but you don't necessarily love. But when you can connect both and you love it, and for you to say that you enjoy going to work on Monday, I mean, that is like amazing to hear. So,
Right, I feel like said no one
thank
ever,
you.
but yeah,
Right?
but I know
First.
what you mean. You know, it's when you love what you do, it doesn't
Yeah.
seem like
Work.
the struggle. You don't have the Sunday scaries that other
Totally.
people have because it's part of your passion.
Yep.
I mean, and it is obviously a privilege to be able to experience that and say that, and I want to just acknowledge that, but at the same time, it's just like, yeah, I think there is a potential for everyone to find something that
Yeah.
really brings them joy.
Yep. And we agree with that as well. And Divya, our savvy theme this month is evaluating success. How do you evaluate your own success?
It's a good one. I have these three words on the back behind me here. You can't see it right now, but they're courage, curiosity, and connection. And these are my core values, especially that I want to bring to the way I run my practice. And so I like to think about my own successes. Am I holding true to these values? Right, so courage is a really big one, and there's a lot of things I have to do in terms of growing my practice, where I have to step outside of my comfort zone, have conversations with people I'm not necessarily ready for, or write or approach people, or ask for business. There's all kinds of things that are part of just being an entrepreneur, right? And I think that even if I might look at some of those and be like, oh, well, that was a failed attempt, or that conversation did not go well, the fact that I had courage to have that conversation is where I'd like to be able to evaluate my success. Similarly, am I every day kind of making a point to connect with others, whether that's deep connection with my clients or making those connections with potential clients or other people who might be able to eventually kind of help help me expand my impact as well. So how much is that connection happening on a regular basis? And then curiosity, which we talked about earlier, is just a really big one. So am I staying open and curious and trying to understand other perspectives? Am I, curiosity is the antidote to judgment. So if I'm not being curious, it means I'm judging something. That's how I like to think about it. And so how much, are those judgments coming up? Are they getting in the way? And how can I bring more curiosity to these, to conversations, to ideas, to approaches, et cetera. So I think that's how I evaluate my success. It's hard when you're on your own, and no one's holding you accountable to those outcomes. It's hard to evaluate in any other way. So I think staying true to your values is like a true way to measure success.
And I love that you touched on the word courage too, because I think that's huge. Because I think a lot of times people might judge success on whether it was a success or a failure. But even if it was a failure, that you took the courage to do or say or be whatever, I think that's huge, that we might need to shift that conversation of like, not did you get the win, but did you have the courage to try? I think is great that you touched on that as well, Divya.
Absolutely.
I love the way you said that.
I love the idea of being brave and having that courage. I completely agree. Especially because you seem like you're naturally curious. But knowing like, hey, you know what? I've got to be brave. I've got to do something that's out of my comfort zone. Absolutely love it. I want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. Anything you want to plug before we let you go?
Oh, thank you. Well, it's been such a pleasure to be here and to chat with both of you. I'm grateful not just for this opportunity to talk here, but I'm just so grateful for the fact that you created this amazing community of listeners, as well. And it's just incredible that you're supporting everyone through this podcast as well. So awesome. Yes, I guess I'd like to plug one thing.
Please.
Whether if you're out there listening, whether or not you're a leader, I do love to write about some of the ideas that I'm taking from my practice as well as my work with my clients, but also kind of my own practice of personal growth. And so I have some guide, like some I have a newsletter, but also a guide that I have out there called How to Do Hard Things. I'd love to offer that to everyone out there. We'll share the link that you'd be able to download that guide, and just some reflections on how we can shift our mindset around getting hard things done. And also would love to hear from your audience. Do reach out, connect with me on LinkedIn. I do love, like I said, connection's a big thing for me. So I'd love to be able to talk and chat and hear about other people's stories. And if you're actually looking for support for yourself or your team, let's definitely talk.
Love it. Divya, I love that. And yeah, definitely reach out to her. We'll have all her information when we release the episode. And Divya, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story with us. It has been a true pleasure. To learn more about Divya, please visit thesavvysession.com for more details. Thank you so much for listening, and join us next time as we continue to share more stories on business, life, and fun.